studied almost every phrase and the history of that and how it has been used or not used in the past. So, essentially, it was not a matter of not knowing what was going on the surface, but a matter of how you interpret it. The second point I would like to make in those who are looking at, particularly the intelligence assessments that were made, these have all been published, very minor deletions at times, not sufficient to distract you from the main thing. Do not assume that necessarily what the intelligence community said was the only thing the President or the Secretary of State had to judge the situation. Often their views of what was going on would be different. And the idea that political leaders are somehow the prisoners of their intelligence analysts, in my experience, has been an incorrect one. Presidents, foreign ministers, other senior people make up their own minds. They are much more dependent upon the intelligence agencies and the open journalists on the spot. In fact, often the journalism is more important than the intelligence report. It's often been said that, you know, what's on the front page of the New York Times today is sometimes much more important to them than, or on the Wall Street Journal, than some report that has come in from the intelligence agencies or embassies. So they've got a lot of information, but most of all, if the leaders have direct contact with other leaders, they're going to make up their minds themselves. This is their profession. This is their job. And the more contact they have with other leaders, the more accurate, probably, that assessment is going to be. And the fact of the matter is that both Reagan and Bush were ahead of the intelligence community in recognizing that perestroika was something new, and that increasingly, and with only slight delay, they began to recognize that the changes were not superficial, but were fundamental. And once there was that recognition, there was no question whatsoever that these changes were welcomed by the United States. And we were looking for ways to support them any way we could, knowing that such support had to be indirect, that if one wasn't careful, it could backfire. No country likes to have foreign agents interfering in their internal matter. So I think this is one of the things one should bear in mind when reading the assessments of the period. But I would also say that we have often been accused by outsiders and even some insiders of being totally surprised by what happened. Particularly when things like the Berlin Wall came down or in fact, that the Soviet Union collapsed. I would say, you must understand that government statements and even internal government reports, particularly in a country like the United States, where almost everything of great importance is going to leak, that the people writing these reports have to bear this in mind. And in 1990-91, when we began to see the pressures on the Soviet Union, the last thing any American government wanted was an official CIA prediction that the Soviet Union might break up. You can imagine the impact on the world if that had leaked, and if they had made that prediction, we would have had to brief at least some key elements in Congress, and once you brief Congress, it's not a secret anymore. So the fact that there was no CIA prediction that the CIA would break up does not mean the event took us by surprise. As a matter of fact, as ambassador, I sent my first message advising the government to make contingency plans for a possible breakup of the Soviet Union in July 1990. Now, it's not yet predicted We're simply saying it's possible that we've got to think about it. We're going to think about what we could do in that case. Because the fact was, we did not want it to happen. And this is the idea that has become current over the West and particularly in Russia, that somehow the United States and its Western ideas allies brought down the Soviet Union by threat and force and treachery is the absolute opposite of the truth. There are a number of other myths out there that I would like to point to. Some of them are not in the paper. The idea that somehow the Cold War ended when the Soviet Union collapsed, that's very common. It's absolutely untrue. The Cold War was over well before the Soviet Union collapsed. And if the Cold War had not ended, most likely the Soviet Union was going to be there in some form. Maybe it deteriorated. There's also the idea, increasingly a lot of people speak of the Cold War as if it were a real war. We even had a book in the United States speaking of World War IV, saying, well, there's World War I, World War II, the Cold War, and now the War on Terrorism is World War IV. Utter absurdity. We're here today because the Cold War was not a war. It was a competition, and in my opinion, basically an ideological competition, and in my opinion, it came to an end at the end of 1988. Because from then on, as a diplomat, and it is developing, not overnight, but as a diplomat, certainly from late 88 through 89 and 90, America and Soviet diplomats were working to achieve a common purpose, and that was to settle the various problems that had created the Cold War, the deepness of the Cold War. It was no longer treated as a zero-sum game, it was no longer treated as an athletic contest with winners and losers. And as a matter of fact, I think the Cold War ended in a mutual agreement to the interests of both countries. So the idea that one side won is again simply a mistake. Now, one idea won, that is true. And Gorbachev had to change a number of Soviet policies to win, but not as a concession to the West, but as a concession to the real interests of the Soviet Union. Because many of the policies his predecessors were following were simply not in their ultimate interest. And in effect, what the United States and its allies were asking the Soviet Union to do would be to adopt policies that would be consistent to the interests of a country willing to live in peace with its neighbors and not impose a system on others. And once that decision was made, and I think it was the whole thing was debated ideologically in Moscow in 1988, and by the time Gorbachev made his address in December 1988 to the UN, really the ideological basis of the Cold War was over. And the rest was cleanup diplomacy, very important diplomacy, but cleanup diplomacy. In fact, I think what we witnessed during that period were three geopolitically seismic events. I say seismic because it's like the things earthquakes cause when they cause continents to split and so on. In a geopolitical sense, that happened to the world. The first of these, in my opinion, was the end of the Cold War. One that was negotiated, one that suited everybody, and as Gorbachev says, and has written, we all won the Cold War, he's right. There were no losers. And it was a negotiated deal. I can talk about various tactics used if one wishes. I have those in my book, but I think that's true. The second thing that happened in this period of the late 80s, early 90s, was the Communist Party was removed from total control of the Soviet Union. Did Western pressure do that? No. Gorbachev did that. And you know, he was the only person who could, because this was a party rule top-down. And essentially, as long as that system prevailed, you could not change it bottom-up. So the person who was most responsible for communism losing its control over the Soviet when he started to finish Georgia, and he saw increasingly the various elements of the Communist Party were blocking it, he chose to continue the perestroika, and to do so, he had to take the power out of the hands of those at the time to block it. And then, how about the collapse of the Soviet Union? As I said, the United States and most of the Western allies simply did not want that to happen. Of course, we wanted the three Baltic countries to regain their independence. We had never recognized and believed it was the Soviet Union. But what we wanted to see was a voluntary federation of the other 12 countries. And that's exactly what George Bush, the elder, said to the Ukrainian parliament August 1st, in 1991. Now, of course, outsiders had virtually no influence over the events that would bring the Soviet Union to an end. Deeply internal. But the idea that somehow this was a Western victory, I think, again, is totally mistaken. Now, these ideas, I think, have poisoned relations to this day and have led to some very bad policies on both sides. But essentially, I say, looking at the whole period of perestroika and the American official reaction to it, yes, we understood how profound it was. We also saw, as it progressed, that economically it was not working. We saw that the stresses were increasing. And so, if you read some of the tables that I sent from Moscow in 90 and 91 in particular,